So I left you on a cliffhanger last week in an act of sheer cruelty. And now I wanted to sort of explore what's going on. The Marsha actually, while he's not as clear as I would like at certain points, I think he does really touch all bases. So I want to go back for a moment. First sketch Tosfos, then do the Rashba, and then we'll go to the Marsha. Now, we're not going to explain Tosfos, but I just want to lay out what the problem is, what the difficulty in Tosfos is. What drives the entire discussion in the Sogya? A major draw, well, I say what drives the entire discussion in the Sogya is when Rava challenged Rav Nachman and said, hey, how can you apply your principle here? You know, I would call this the wimpy principle. You know who wimpy is? Popeye? Heard of Popeye? I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. That's the character Wimpy. Mm-hmm. I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. That is what Rav Nachman adopts the Wimpy position, right, which is it's okay to eat now and pay later. Right, that's his position in the dark, which is you can violate the Nedev now, and the assumption is that you'll pay up later to make sure that Tanai is or isn't fulfilled. Whatever it is, that won't trigger the Nedev. And in the same way, Rav Nachman is suggesting that, or Rav is suggesting within Rav Nachman, that it's okay to marry an Acher now, because you'll marry Plony on Tuesday. That's essentially what Rav has suggested. And Rav challenges that, because, well, ordinarily, it's in her power. It's in your power to pay Tuesday for the hamburger today. In this particular case, it's not in your power to pay Tuesday for the hamburger today. But the way the Gemara formulates it, what is not her power? The Gemara says, "Bedida kaima l'igurushe," is in her power, in her hands, in her control to get divorced. So what bothered all of the Rishonim is, forget about the question of divorce, right? And that's what prompts the second half of those as well. She can force a divorce, maybe. Maybe she can force a divorce. Right, maybe Ma'is Salai is grounds for a divorce, according to, if you don't like Rashi or Beinatam. So the question is, why does the Gemara not say the Igrushe or just the Insuven? Why does the Gemara not consider that possibility? And what comes along with that, the fact that the Gemara focuses on is it biyada l'igrushe? Sounds like because it's not biyada l'igrushe, there's no way for her to fulfill the tonight. Which now prompts the first part of Tosfos, which is, hey, do it without Girush. Because after all, if you don't fulfill the tonight, she's not married to the first guy. Because she's the Nesesh Yisrael Gabi, the first guy, and the Kiddushin aren't Tosfos. That's what drives everything. So, Tosfos, just to read again, Afal gav dechevan she'ina yecholah l'kayim tena'a havia eshes ish lezer sheniseis lo achsha. And therefore what? She's not really married to Shimon. Reuven's the first husband, the original husband. Shimon is the current husband or not husband, whatever it is, current paramour. And Levi was the Tori that Reuven spelled out when he gave his wife the get. So if she's an Eshes Ish L'gabe L'zesha Niseis Lo Achsha, which means she wasn't Niseis Lo, but it's a Melitza, she got active, she was getting married to him. So you would say, oh, so who needs a get? Just go and marry Levi. What's the problem? Mikol makom, eina yecholo l'kayim tenor, but inasei b'lo gerishin. V'la'olam tzricha get misfeika. She needs a get, shema yiskayim tenor. So here is where the problems arise. Tosfos says, before we explain this, whatever the svara is behind it, who is the sheni and who is the rishon? So the one thing we can say is as follows. There are two possibilities for sheni. There are three possibilities for rishon. Because Shani is the one who marries her. Rishon is the one who drops dead or divorces her. And there are two possibilities in the Shani. Who are the two possibilities in the Shani? Shimon or Levi. Right? You would call Levi, you could call Shimon the Sheni, because you can't marry Shimon until you marry Levi, even if not sequentially, conceptually. Or Levi could be the Sheni because chronologically she'd be the second one he's married. Now, what is the Misa of the Risha? Who's the Risha? Who's the Mesa Yagarsha? Well, it could be the original husband, which would mean that the original husband would drop dead, or now he did divorce already. So what does Yagarsha mean?
Divorce properly.
A full unconditional divorce. He'll turn around and say, here's another get, no conditions attached, you're free to go. Or it could be Shimon, who could drop dead or be Megarsha. The only problem with saying that is it makes no sense in this context. Because if only Shimon would drop dead or be Megarsha, it would solve our problem. She can now go potentially marry Levi. Now the third possibility is that Levi would drop dead or divorce her, which would then render her in theory eligible to be Mekudeshes to Shimon. Of course, she can't actually marry him because it's Bimachse Gushasa. But at the very least, retroactively, at this point, it will turn out in a certain weird sense. You don't even need that. That's the problem here, is that the Kiddushin could be Chav. So the question is, what Tosfos is saying, you can't let her go marry Levi without a get, because we are afraid that it's going to mess things up somehow. There's a suffix here. And maybe the Tanai will be fulfilled. Right? Again, the Safek Hashem is time to know that he not say Gam L'Sheni Al Yidei Misa Sarisha or Yagarsha. So if you would ask me, my first read of Tosfos would be Vitinase Gam L'Sheni would be who? Would be Shema. Al Yidei Misa Sarisha or Yagarsha would be Levi. Now, and that is why you need a get. Now, what would happen, well, firstly, what does it mean Mikinase Gam L'Sheni, she will marry Shimon also? Presumably it means retroactively she will have been married to Shimon. So who cares? What difference does it make? Why do we care whether she's retroactively married to Shimon? Who cares? What? Why? Okay, this is rule number one to be aware of. There's a very common misconception.
Oh, but she's not there the first time.
Right.
No, she would be. According to him, she's still married to the first guy.
She fulfilled the Tanai.
Ah, oh, sorry.
Levi's dead now. Reuben's get should be a get because she fulfilled the Tanai. Okay, so fine. Now, it's not fine, but I just want to caution and remind you that Mamzerus in Judaism, so this wasn't the same idea, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. It only matters if, as long as you could marry the person. As long as Kiddushin would be Tosin, the child's not a Mamzer. So a child born out of wedlock in Halacha is not considered a Mamzer. A child born out of wedlock is not considered tainted at all, at least not Halacha. So it's not clear exactly what Tosfos is driving at, and the Marsha is going to, in effect, propose go for three options. Initially, he thinks it's four options. Initially, he thinks it's the Rashba. Then he gives you option number two, A and B, and then finally he settles upon number three. But before going to the Marsha, let's take a look at the Rashba. Rashba is, I guess I didn't really need the marker. Okay, but maybe I'll hold on to it in case. Okay. Question. Is anything unclear about what we've said until now? Is there something unclear? Will anybody try?
The
reason
is that the Misa Sarisha and Misa Levi, how does that affect her marriage to Shimon Lachran?
Well, while she... So that is part of the problem. In other words, it's the marriage to Levi that effectuates Shimon's marriage retroactively. But that will only happen if Shimon gave her a get.
But Levi's get for Misa does not make a difference.
Correct.
So Misa's solution is can't be Levi's.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. True. Maybe. Okay. So let's take a look at the Rashba. A little side visit to the Rashba. So, Nissen, can I ask you to please read? So the Rashba has, we'll do the whole Rashba, but some of the stuff is not directly related to this, but it's his launching pad for what he's going to say. Go ahead. Atzu v'dinda, chayma l'igurushe.
Read the mark.
Oh, so maybe we could come up with a case. We made up a case that a man is mekadesh the woman on the condition to divorce her by a certain time. So when they get married, it's like man havya liyoma in the Gemara in Yoma. Amorai would come into town and look for a wife for a day. It raises all sorts of questions and issues and so on. But it's a temporary marriage. Right? The idea of temporary marriage seems very strange to us. Partially because we are a little bit Christianized, but partially just because we're Jewish. The idea that marriage is eternal is a more Christian idea, right? To death, to be part or something like that. At least that's what they have in the television shows. Right, the truth is, historically speaking, this Catholic cannot get divorced unless he gets a dispensation from the Pope. Which, of course, generally speaking, historically, of course, leads back to my favorite musical notes. Okay, but anyway, so that for us, it's possible a person, we also have this idea, so we've been influenced by this idea, but let's say a person knows they're, an older person is going to make Aliyah. And they're no longer married at the moment. And there's a woman whose company, the two of them enjoy each other's company, but she's not going to make Aliyah. But he's not making Aliyah for 10 years, so they could decide they're not married for 10 years. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Right? It sounds strange to us, but especially on a second marriage, it makes more sense. And it makes more sense that if we're kind of stuck in that, which is not great, the fact that we're stuck in this paradigm that you marry, you hope to stay married forever to that person, not a crazy idea, I understand. This idea of Ishus Nerurim, which the Navi talks about, and the Gemara talks about, understood. But supposing it was a kiddush l'zman, the agreement was we'll get married and you will divorce me, in 2 years from now. That's all. That's what the Rashba describes here. So, you have a case where it is the other igrusha because it was part of the condition. And that's kind of interesting, by the way, because I'll be radical here. Couldn't that someone use this tonight b'kiddushin not to get divorced without a get, but to create a chiyuv legarish, the basic to be kofah. See, when we deal with the aguna issue, one of the challenges is that we face is that there are two challenges we face. The one that's faced more in the United States, but both could be faced here, is that the community has no power to coerce a get. Let's say a person is mamish mechuyev to a get. He's morei, he refuses to provide shirkshus ha'onah, he's mechuyev l'gar shelachol deyos ha'mishan. And if we had the capacity, we could beat him, we could cane him, we could whip him, and get the get. But the problem is you can't, because we don't have time in autonomy, and it's against the law. But there's a second consideration. Sometimes, it's a machlokas harishonim, whether or not we can be kofin legarish. This was the big machlokas Rabbeinu Tam. I mentioned this. Rabbeinu Tam said that only when the Mishnah says kofin are we kofin, but when it says yotzi, we're not kofin. Many rishonim say no. Whenever the Mishnah says yotzi, we think suba. It means kriya also. You don't have to say kofin. So there are, and because we're machmir, because we don't want to suffer mamzeris, we're always machmir. It means that there's a whole range of cases where many Rishonim say he's mechuyev legarish, but we're afraid to be kofeh because it might be a get mosa shalokadin, and there might even be a whole range of cases where We know he's not mechuyev lagarish and shter, but we think it'd be a really good idea. But we're not allowed to force him if he's not mechuyev. So the question is, if the Rashba thinks that getting married al menashe yegarshem al zman yadua means biyada legusha, what's the other? What if he decides he doesn't want to do it? So I presume it means if they got married with that condition, then Beis Din will beat him up until he does it when he's supposed to give the get. So why couldn't you make a sign when you do kiddushin that, you know, in a whole range of circumstances of a certain takana, you will be megarish your wife? And if that's the case, then while it doesn't help us in the United States, because we still don't have powers of kfiya, let's say in Israel, where the Bate Din do have powers of kfiya, so many cases where they refuse to be kofa the husband because the suffix, some day says, you're not mamish kofin, why don't you expand the universe of kofin on that? You still have to force them to get. On the very rare occasions that a man would choose to sit in prison and rob, which happens with a small number of individuals, is Israel, and putting a person in prison is kriya. It is kriya, but they put certain people, the mechuyev lagarish, they put them in prison. So you could solve a lot of other, not technical agunah cases, but you could solve a lot of other marriages that should be broken up. So I don't know what the answer is, but it has occurred to me, I think the Rashba is assuming that when you're megarish, when you're mekadesh, al-da'ash yegarshen at a certain time, it's not that the kiddushin is ipso facto or retroactively invalid if you're not megarish, or it's not that, it's just that he's mechuyev lagarish. So the Rashba is assuming that when a man is mechuyev lagarish, we'll make him divorce his wife. Yes, Brian? No, isn't that what Pashas, what the Rashba means? It could be other Rishon of the spirit. It could be they think that just because you agree to megarish your wife at a certain point, you know, you're not mechuyev to do so. But we have a very strange practice. I don't fully understand it, but if a man takes a shua to divorce his wife, so we are machmir to be, not to let him divorce her until he's machmir the shua, because somehow it's treated as the shua as being kofim, which I never fully understood because he took the shua. But so I don't know if this is the same. The Rashba is certainly assuming here. He's certainly assuming here that if the man married her aldas lagarsha, which is an agreement to be lagarsha at a certain point, so then he's mechuyev lagarsha at that point, and we would be kofim, right? No. I assume that the Rashba is looking for a case where a woman has the power to get divorced. If it's a living the Isser, if that's the argument you're making, it doesn't have to be al das megarish l'zman yadua. You could ask a better question. Why isn't it the yada legusha? Because Beis Din is going to force him to do it because he's mechuyev to, because otherwise the tanah won't be fulfilled. I don't know the answer to that question. And ultimately, Tosas's answer is, yeah, in a chanami they might, but it doesn't matter because that's not called the yada legusha. The husband could stall, the husband could refuse, it could take a while, it could be this, it could be that, it could be bidochah. But that's a case where. But he was the case where the husband stipulated. It was part of the agreement.
That's some sort of novel claim that he imposed on himself.
It's like it's a condition in the marriage. I'll give you an example, I think, where that's probably the case. Sfardi Ksubas, Syrian Ksubas, I don't know if they're all Sfardi, Syrian Ksubas have in them a couple of clauses that are edited, one where the husband agrees that he will not marry another wife in addition to her without the permission of the Beis Din Tzedek and the Lecho. And similarly, he agrees not to divorce her against her will without the permission of the Beis Din Tzedek and the Lecho. So I don't know how that plays out, but let's say a husband wants to take another wife. So I think there's ample evidence for this, either in the Gemara or in the Rishonah, that if a man married a woman al-Manas, that he would not take another wife. In order to take another wife, well, if he takes another, we would force him to be megarish his first wife. She's entitled to a get. It's only because that was the agreement at the time of commission. So even though we're not saying you can allow her to remarry without a proper get, we are saying that he's mechuyev legarish because he agreed to that at the beginning. So that's a very interesting topic to explore. It's not our topic right now, but it sounds like the way the Rashba is solving this problem initially, it's asking the question initially is that, hey, maybe it is the other legrushe. So the Rashba says, Yin Shlomar. Go ahead. Okay, so in other words, there's some cases where you can come up with where it's the other legrushe, but it's certainly not the other one. She can't make the other guy marry her. Okay. Now, the high the Amen, I mean, look, come on. Okay. So, do you know what that case is? What's that case? Should we?
That's a case where someone makes a deny that you are divorced on condition that you are boel with someone. And probably, I think, at some point says that the reason why this works is because she could bribe him to be boel with her.
Or to marry her. Right. Amenasha tibali leploni. Haramic gereshis menina, amenasha tibali leploni. Which, by the way, if you remember, the Yerushalmi creates its own interesting dynamic, because until she has the bia, ostensibly she's still an eshes ish. But once she has the bia, that undoes the eshes ish, and if it's an amanasit, undoes it a mafreah. There's a funny passage in the Yerushalmi which serves at least the way the Magen Mishnah understood the machlokas, how to interpret that. We read that Yerushalmi at the beginning of the Zman. How to understand the machlokas around the right is based upon how you read that Yerushalmi. But for the moment, amanas sheh tivali leploni. The Gemara says you can be the Shachet of the Namur. So the Rashbah says it's not the same thing. Why is it not the same thing? Why are they different? As the Rashbah is trying to save himself from the trap that he set with the Gerusha by saying, oh, the Nisuin are not in her hands. What do you mean? It is in her hands. She could be mishachin him, bribe him, give him enough money. That's he wanted to marry a rich woman. Shouldn't
it? Seems like maybe she's just pushing up.
Well, maybe he'll say no there. I think that what the Rashba says is obvious. It's almost a klakasha. He doesn't mean to even entertain the question seriously. What is the context that the Gemara discusses? Amarash Tibali Poli. You have to know that context, right?
Whether or not it's a
sign that's Efshar Lekaimo. The Gemara is going to say later, it's a machlokas atanoim, but that we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, that if you make a Tanai, which is Efshar Lekaimo, it could be in any area that Tanai apply. I make you a Tanai, Jake, that you can be kona my umbrella amanas that you walk across the Hudson River on the water. That's the Gemara's amanas. They give that example. She goes walking on water. Kind of interesting example. I know your mother probably thinks you walk on water, but you don't. So. And so amanas and talin the rakia. So the Mitzvah says that the Tanai is about the nicest time because it's the mafliga of the barn. So amanas and tibali the pony. So the Gemara says, "Esher the Meshach Kalei Rama." That one has to understand the following: the point of the Gemara there is not to assess the probability of whether something is going to happen or not. It's simply to state that because it is possible for him, or to bribe him with money, it doesn't mean for sure he's going to agree. But because a real possibility exists, it could be a 20% possibility, but it's possible. It's not like going up to the heavens or walking across the water. Right? It's not a less than or, you know, amanasha tibali la'aba. Where probably he's not going to agree. No, amanasha tibali. It's not a mister. So if you marry yourself, so fine, she'll marry him. So there, it's one thing to say that since it's possible, it's not a tanashi yashu l'kaino. But here, what we need is not that it's possible that she'll be m'kaino tonight, but that it is probable that she'll be Mekayim in time. And because she has no control over it, she can try, but ultimately it's not a control. And therefore, Efsha that Meshachta Mamona doesn't help. And it's not in her, it doesn't have to be in her control there, it just has to be possible. But here, in order for her not to be violating adultery right now, it has to be reasonably probable that she'll be successful. And that is not. Meshach the Mamona is not a probable. It's a possible.
You know what I mean? Well, I would not give that answer that it is Efshar Lekaimo. I would think that it's physically possible why she has to bribe him.
So it's, the truth is, it's not, it is, Namaste. I'm just literally learning this Gemara this morning. It's a Machlokas Abai Rava. If you make the Tanai, it's on our front page actually. Just want to see how it plays out. No, so it's not enough. No, so you have to understand, Yanni. It's not just about physical possibilities. Why is it, if he says, Hamanash Tali in the Rakia, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasir says the get is a get and the Tanai is a door? Because he wasn't serious. In other words, he's still very dead and he's attached to that stupid stipulation. He went through trouble writing again to Yehuda. He's not serious, he's just giving her a hard time. So anything that he chooses, even if it's physically possible, if it is so improbable that it can happen, and he's giving her the get, it means he's not going to be totally get on the Tanai. So Amanasha Tizbali the Abba or Lavicha, that's not happening. It could it happen? Sure. Physically it's possible. Can it happen in this world? It does happen in this world. What's the probability? Not very high. Amanasha Tibali the Pony. Look, you know? He could be in the why you connect state base, she could be in the why you connect state base. You know, they could spiff up her profile, you know, and she could add in there, I don't think these exist yet. But I come with a large dowry. That would be such a fun experiment. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. imagine that. That's going to be a new category. I mean, why should we pretend otherwise? Why should we pretend otherwise? So, just, what's that? Listen, you know, you understand, by the way, that in all of these services, basically you can, there's often a free option, and then there's the option where you pay, and there are different levels of paying, and the more you pay on your monthly thing, the more shidduchim you get, the more matches, the more suggestion. This is both in our world and outside the Jewish world and outside the world, right? There are different levels in which you can pay. So that's just another way of saying that, you know, that there's, I don't know, those who have more money are going to get more privileges, which means more likely to get married, which of course happens to be true anyway. So bottom line is, what do we need to pretend? We could just say, this is the dowry that I come with. But in this context, so the bottom line is that here, she goes to the guy and says, I come with a big dowry. So, okay, fine. He's got to marry somebody, so might as well marry a girl with a big dowry. And I say that tongue in cheek. But that is the way the world works. That's the way most of the world works. And it's even the way our entire world works. It's just, it's not always a cash transaction. Right? It is always, it's a market, and it's the way it works. That's what Nidhi Agafen is. I'm sorry, I know that's very unromantic, but that's exactly what it is. Right? A's don't usually marry D's because the A says, why should I marry D? I should marry A. I know that this sounds so unromantic. That's a reality. You're looking funny. Would you want to marry only someone who's not particularly intelligent? No. What? You probably want to marry someone who's intelligent. If you're a bright person, you think about things, you want to talk about things. But you know that basically meaning is that the not so smart people have to marry not so smart people. Right? That's just the way it is. It's not a, you know, that's good for Shalom Bayis. I always think that when it comes to wealth, Adarava, the wealthy should marry the people who aren't. This way you can, but that's because I believe in, you know, the Torah's philosophy of blood, the blood distribution. So that's the way of doing it. They say it used to be doctors would often marry their nurses because when did they have time to go find dates? And which was good because nurses were low socioeconomic status. But today, no. Doctors marry doctors. Nothing wrong with it. Pastor Shalom, not saying anything wrong with it. But it means that instead of, right, it just means that the people who are that far ahead and that marry those that far ahead. Yes, Frank?
Well, that's because it's important to you. Right?
But the social norm might be reflective of general.
Look, we would like to, we would like to think, look, more attractive people marry more attractive people. That's a tendency. Yeah. And how you may define that a man and a woman may be different, that's what happens. Right? It's just, that is the world. You don't have to like that. I happen to think, in particularly when it comes to the things that are truly not important, that's where it's good to average out. And things that are important, I'm with you on this. Right? In other words, I want to have conversations. Right? It's a challenge. Right? So, whatever. My point here is that basically, she can give him enough money, and the guy will want to marry her. She just promised a big dowry. So that means, is he bothering his girlfriend? No. He might think that she doesn't possess characteristics A, B, C, and D that he wants, and doesn't care how much money she has. Great. But the point is that it is possible, and it's Tanaisha Eshel Kaimo. It's in the realm of a reasonable claim. But that's not enough in our Gemara. In our Gemara, it has to be highly profitable. And because she has no control, and as you said, people do look for other things. It's not just that. Not just that. The bottom line about that, these two cases are not really similar, as Rosh White doesn't explain, but I think that's what he means. Jake.
What's the reason that it has to be overly probable in this case and just a possibility in other cases?
Because there we're trying to determine what is his intent. Was he being serious when he attached the tonight? So when he attaches an impossible tonight, or something that is so unlikely to happen, he's not serious. When he's attaching something that might be not even to say probable, but certainly in the realm of reasonable possibility, so basically he's saying, you need to do X in order for this get to be a get. Or this method, whatever, it doesn't have to be a get, it could be anything. Whereas here, the issue is if she doesn't fulfill the Shanai, she's violating the Isser Chabra, and she says she's not divorced. So there, it's not enough that there's a 10, 20, 30% probability, in doing it. It's got to be very likely, overwhelmingly likely, that she can fulfill the time. And even if it's the other Legrushe, it's not so likely that the other Linsuman. That's what the Rashba doesn't spell it out, but to me, I think that's possible. Correct. The stakes are higher. And again, it's not just that. It's that here, there's an obligation to fulfill the tzai in order for her to be divorced and not be by the issur. There, we just want to know, is the tzai a valid tzai or is it a not serious tzai? It's just two totally different standards. Okay. Fine. So the Rashba continues. Tanya Kavasa de Rava. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I probably didn't mean I jumped to the end. It doesn't really matter. Read the last part. Right. So this he's trying. You know who's he trying to preempt here in this line? The way he says it. In other words, he says Yisuin is an issue, but they say even the Gerushin is usually an issue. It's a double win. He's trying to preempt Tosfos. Right, because Tosfos said it's not the Mashna. That, you could have said, Tosfos says, right, at the end of the Tosfos, the part we're not doing, that you could have said, the Ihava Mefarish Bidida, Kaima Legushe, and Sube, the Vade, and the other she's saying that, Hava Asi Shabir, Achei Lashon Mashna. So our first trying to kind of fix the Lashon, explain why, actually, no, we could fit in the language of the Gemara. It's a kind of Lozu Asu. Right? In other words, of course the Nisuin is a problem, but even the Gerushin is a problem. But of course the Nisuin is a problem. Okay. Now, Tanya Kavasa de Rava. Okay. Yeah, it's an almanas case. You should be able to have a get bihavet after as long as the field is fine later. So why is it that the Rambam says that as soon as she goes and marries somebody else, the get is batel and the children are not there? Maybe she'll get divorced from that guy, or that guy will die. So then she'll marry, Plony, and then the half of that happened after. Okay, so that's the writing of the son of a Tei Dalacha. אם okay, so it's a problem. Asya Gushasa. But other than that, we're fine. Well, Mistabra. Right. So he thinks that the reason why. Well, the Gemara says the reason why she got married, she has to get divorced, is because she doesn't have control. Whereas by the Messiah says she fundamentally does. Okay. Now, by the way, what's interesting about that is it's not exactly true. Well, I don't know if it's true. What happens if a man is medarish his wife, and Asha Titi the Messiah says, and he refuses to accept the money from her? I don't know the answer. Formally, officially, should he?
Can she put in his chutzar?
I don't think a person's chutzar kona is kona bal karfa. Person says, I don't want to be kona any of your money. His way of preventing the gift from being chal. Some of this could boil down to, I mean, the problem is that this could really just be maybe a question of contractual interpretation. Like how to understand what it meant, Amanasha Titni Messiah says. Was his volition there at all relevant, or do we say that she has to show up to give him 200 says he can do what he wants, he can choose not to take it, but she's fulfilled her end. It comes up in this sugya, in some of the later discussions on the bottom of Pidal and Al, but it relates to what we're talking about now. We discussed this very briefly in the closest to Yom Amal. I didn't focus so much on it, but it's a big machlokas of Rishonim. Remember the case, Rabbi Akiva was Meshav and Rabbi Eliezer, that a Megarish, you know, Amanas or Chutz, whichever it was, that Rabbi Akiva said she could go marry someone else, and then, if she then goes and marries this other person afterwards, right, she marries so-and-so, has children, wonderful, and then she goes and marries the guy afterwards she wasn't allowed to marry, and then so that Get Batel and Banet and Lamafreya, and the children are Mamzer. So Rabbi Akiva said that can't be. And the Gemara said, oh, you know what? That must be Almanash Shatinasi the Ploni, not Chutzvi Ploni. Why? Because by Chutz, the Kedusha Rishon would be fucked up when the second guy marries her. Now she can go marry the Ploni, that wouldn't be a problem. So it must be Almanash. So Tosha says to Kasha, well, if that's the case, it's not a problem. Because if she's not, if you say in fact that the get would be Bata Lamafreya, then it turns out that she never married the Ploni. Then he's suing one of Chalom and actually cannot sue the Ploni, and therefore the get still good, and she's just not married to Ploni because the marriage won't work. Because if the marriage were to work, it would undo the get. So Tosa says we're afraid of a case where the first husband has died. So if the first husband died, the original husband died, and now she goes and marries Ploni, so it will turn out that she's married to Ploni, but not because he gave a get originally, but because he died. And then it will turn out the children she had from the guy in the middle are mamzerim. That's what Tosa says. But other Rishon Ramat says, no, Amanashati Nasi Lo Kaspon means you don't go make a wedding with him. It's not the formal whether Kiddushin are Tosin or not. That's not what he meant. He just meant, don't go and marry him. He wasn't thinking halachically with the Kiddushin and Tosin. So she goes, and she puts on a bridal dress. And they go, and the rabbi is beside a Kiddushin for them, even though we know the Kiddushin are not Tosin. Doesn't matter. She violated it tonight. The get is batel. Children are mamzerim. The same thing could be said. So Amanasha Titni Masayin Zuz, it's sort of the same question. If he refuses to accept it, then it turns out she never gave him the 200 Zuz. Unless you say, it means Amanasha Titni, it doesn't matter whether he's coming or not. It just means she does an act that looks like she's giving him the money. She offers him the money. Here's the 200 Zuz. He chooses not to take it. She was Makayim the tonight. So anyway, so the Rashba says he thinks that she doesn't have to get the divorce. Because it's beyond that, she'll give the 200 Jews. Go ahead. Right, without getting divorced from Shimon, there's no way to marry Levi that was part of the stipulation of the get. That's why you have to get divorced, the Hilkach. Yeah. In other words, no reason to make her get divorced with 200 tzuz, just give the 200 tzuz. At the end, they'll suggest maybe there's an issa de rabbanon, a via in the interim, so she gives the 200 tzuz, but medina, it's not a problem. Go ahead. Here's where it starts. Go ahead.
Here's where it starts.
Go ahead. Ba'al Hatsanai. That's what it is. So you now say Lizer Ba'al Hatsanai. It means leaving. Okay? Right. In other words, the condition of Shimon can't be Hal until she gets married to him. Until she marries to Levi, excuse me. Go ahead. Okay. And what happens when? So now I'm going to go back to the way I started the Seder. What happens when? What would happen if she married Shimon and said, "Hey, this doesn't work because I'm the Tanai," and without a get, she goes and marries Levi? What would happen then? Would Kiddushe Levi be Chal? Fine. What? Yes. And then that means that what? The Tanai has been fulfilled. Right? She married Levi. Would Kiddushe Shimon be Chal now the Mafreya? No. Would not. Why not? What would happen to the Chalim Afreya? She wouldn't be married to Levi. And because she wouldn't be married to Levi, Kiddush Shimon cannot be Chal. If the train stops here, it doesn't go in a circle. In other words, definitionally, she cannot have Kiddushin with Shimon unless they are preceded by a Chalos of Kiddush Levi. Now, therefore, the only way for her to be married to Shimon, if she gets a divorce from Shimon, I know that's counterintuitive, now she marries Levi, because Kiddushin Shimon will not prevent Levi's Kiddushin from being Chal.
So if he dies, right? Shimon dies.
Correct. Either way. Either way. But that's the finish the Rashba spells out. That in fact, no, my endless circle that I teased you with to open up this shiur on Thursday is actually not true. In other words, it doesn't go that way. You don't say, because as soon as you want to say that Kiddushe Shimon Archal Lamafreya, and now Kiddushe Levi Archal, it means Kiddushe Shimon Archal Lamafreya. So Kiddushe Levi Shimon cannot be Chal until Kiddushe Levi have been Chal. And the only way that has to happen is either for the Kiddushe to be Chal after Levi divorces her only then, or to be Chal Lamafreya if Shimon divorced her or died. Then, in other words, the chalos of Kiddush and Shimon cannot prevent Levi's Kiddushin from being chal. They can precede Levi's Kiddushin, provided that they're ma'atid Levi's Kiddushin. That's what the Rashba is telling us. That's the finish. Now, he's attributing this to Tosfos, by the way. The question, Marsha ultimately is going to challenge whether he thinks Tosfos really means this. He's attributing it to the Ri Hazakim. If you look in the footnotes in the Rashba, it says, I in the Tosfos that we're working on. I think the reason he said that is because it's not explicit in the Tosfos that that's what's going on. So, at the end of the day, I say to you, so what? So what? Okay, I don't care. Her agenda should get that tonight fulfilled. So the Rashba continues. Okay, that's the key line. It's not as clear as I would like to be. But what does the Rashba say? Or what do you think he says? This is the essence, this is a nutshell, what his issue is. In other words, read the next line for a second, you see. I'm sorry, we'll get the head. Okay. So why is it? What's the problem? What's the problem? And that's why can't we say Mishka marry Shimon? And then you're telling me she can't get a get. Okay, so she'll just go marry Levi at some point. So why not? No, that's not what he says. He doesn't say it's not the other to marry Levi. I know, but she doesn't need a divorce. See what I
mean?
Yeah. In other words, right now, when she would be living with Shimon, the only thing that's in her control is that this could be BS and us, that she's living out of wedlock. That's not cool. The only way for what she's doing right now not to be an Avera is the way that she has no control over. The way that she does have control over can at best result in what she's doing now and being Zdos, being Tzuria. Meaning, when she marries Levi ultimately, what will happen? What will happen when she marries Levi? Get this right. This is crucial. Ephraim, what happens when she marries Levi? She's Megureshes L'Mafrei Me'Ruven. She's not married to Shimon. Why not? Why is she not married to Mafreya? Correct, because if she were to say that if the marriage to Shimon would be Chalam Afreya, she wouldn't be Mekudesh as a lady, and we get stuck on this vicious circle. Therefore, the Rashba says, we're forced her to get divorced because she doesn't have control to be doing what she's doing now to make sure that it's behead there. She only has control to make it Zos, not to make it proper Bia, proper Kiddushin. The only way to get this to be a proper deal within the framework of Kiddushin is if she could force the divorce and I'll call it the remarriage if you want, but let's just focus on the divorce part. But she, because it's not the other, the Igrushe, because you don't have the get, which allows Levi's Kiddushin to be chal despite Shimon's earlier Kiddushin. Since you don't have that possibility, she's got to leave him right now. That's what the Rashba says. Okay. Now, any questions about that, Rashba? Ephraim, are you satisfied? Not whether you agree with the Rashba, but you agree that's what he says. And it, on the surface, it seems to work right now. Now, there is one, what is the particular point of contention that could arise? Well, let me frame it this way. What's the definition of Manzeres? Shimmy?
Someone is born out of a relationship from some place where the Kiddushin would not have been took place.
Perfect definition. Exactly. Okay, I know there are some exceptions, like a guy maybe, but perfect definition. A child born out of a union where the Kiddushin aren't tosin. Eishes ish, arayos, not nida, because nida the Kiddushin are tosin. Excellent. So I have a question. Would Kiddushin be tosin with Shimon here? And don't tell me that if a get would be, in other words, if no get is given, if she were to go marry Levi, because she'll say to Shimon, look, you know, if your kiddushin can't be chal. So if she gets a get from Levi, from Shimon, excuse me, and she marries Levi, it will turn out l'mafreya she was megureshes to Reuven, l'mafreya she was megureshes to Shimon, now she's megureshes to Shimon, married to Levi, you know, and shalom Yisrael. But if you were to say, as the Rashba is proposing, that without a get, Kiddushe Levi would prevent Kiddushe Shimon Chal from being Chal and Afreya. It means that she had a child from Shimon, if she had a child. She had a child from Shimon where Kiddushin could not be Tosin, at that time. I mean, again, if a man has an affair with a married woman that has a child, the child's a mamzer. She gets divorced and he has a child with her, he's not a mamzer. Right? The fact that kiddushin could in the future be posted doesn't matter. You look at what it is now. So right now, at the time, he had these children when she married Shimon. After that get from Reuven, before she married Levi, the kiddushin couldn't be toasted then. If Levi were to marry her without a get from Shimon. So is it really just bias nus? Or is it worse? And you can see why I boast. Because that really is the point of contention here, which is where the Marsha is going to go. Fine.
It doesn't have to be a lack of suspicion because it's never been. Has a child with a guy or a cut or another, it's not going to be.
The reason why tefisas by a guy, tefushin are toasted with a guy, with no one, with a katan, nobody, I've never thought anybody asked a katan the question, right? With no one. It has to be, by the way, it has to be an aveira too. It has to be an aveira too. And with a katan, it might not be an aveira because it might just be kidushin or something like that. With a guy, it's an aveira, but the point is, it has to be that there's no tefisas kidushin. Each of these individuals has tefisas kidushin, but not with one another. A katan and a guy have no tefisas kidushin. This woman has to use this condition with Levi. What's challenging about this is, why do you want to make the child a mamzer? What's the issa? Not a trick question. Eshazish. Is she an Eshazish? No, because the get was chal. When she married Levi. And when is she migureshes from?
Retroactively.
Yeah. So on the one hand, she's not an issue with Megabe Shimon when the Bia happens. On the other hand, the Kiddushin are toasted. So which is going to be the, you know, so that's the question. Do you say the fact that the Kiddushin are toasted shows that she is an issue with Megabe, despite the get? As strange as that might be. These are the things that will keep you up at 3 o'clock. If you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be able to go back to sleep because your mind, a friend's not going to be able to go back to sleep. He's not going to be able to get this out of his mind. Guarantee that. You may not wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I hope you don't. But if you do, you're not going to be able to get your mind off of this. Because it's such an amazing issue. That you have a woman who's not an Ishish Ish, but Kiddushin are in Tosin because she's an Ishish Ish. Which is? So the Rashba says, she's not an Ishish. Kiddushin are in Tosin because of a technicality in a certain way, because it would lead to X, Y, and Z. So it's just business. But she's not allowed to do that. And the only way to her living to be the Hekdar is if she could get a get from Shimon and then marry Levi. And since she has no power to get a get from Shimon, she only has the power to ignore Shimon and go and then go marry Levi. Therefore, she has to get divorced. So, Ephraim, you're not happy, but I'm not. I wouldn't be happy either. I'm only happy because I've thrown out the question to you, so I feel good that I've been able to clarify the question and torture you. If you had done it to me, I would sleep if I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
The Martinez is the only problem if you don't, you're not willing to consider the fact that the sum is going to get makes a difference.
Say that again.
You only get into the problem of Martinez if you're not willing to consider the sum is going to get from Shimon as part of the picture.
No, correct. If she gets a gift from Shimon, we agree the condition we're toast in the Matreya. That's not the problem. The problem is that she doesn't get a gift from Shimon. The Re says, the Rashba says, she could go marry Levi, Kiddushin will be Tosin, and they will override and prevent Shimon's Kiddushin from Eichal. The only problem, the Rashba says, yes, if Shimon's Kiddushin, if she doesn't get a gift from Shimon, Shimon's Kiddushin cannot be Chal retroactively. At best, they can be Chal if Levi divorces her, or if you want to argue that, Levi divorces her or dies. But then it will turn out everything she's doing with Lafreya was Nus. So right now, what she's doing, when she's gotten married Shimon, and we bring her into the basement and say, leave. Leave Shimon. Why? I'll go marry a lady later. Well, you don't have the power to force Shimon to give you a get. So yeah, you could go run to Levi right now, but if you do that, then what you're doing right now with Shimon is sus. That's not okay. We don't want you doing that.
We don't know if we got, let's say, this woman is, has fusion with Shimon, and then subsequently has sus with some other person. So that is
well, the Rashba says that the beer with Shimon, on the assumption that there will be a future Levi marriage, the beer with Shimon will wind up not being a shtish. It will either be znus or it will be in marriage. But if after Shimon's mekadesh, she has znus with someone else, so there, if Shimon gives a get, that znus will now become a shtish. You don't have to. Are you saying you have to know at the time? No. It's not like it's there, but a question whether it be chal. It's a question whether it's there or not. I'm gonna scratch that formulation from the record. The question is the kiddushin chal or not? And the answer is, you're right, you don't know now, but if you find out later day, whenever chal, it turns out kiddushin weren't posted. It's a question of being clarified.
But not because fusion.
Okay. And look, you want to be able to explain it, because you want to be able to explain the Rashba. Right? The Rashba doesn't sound outlandish, right? But you do wonder, again, and you understand, you're stuck in this weird situation where the Kiddushin aren't Tosin. It becomes clear in retrospect that the Kiddushin were never Tosin, and could it be Tosin? And but if she had beer with somebody and no kiddushin, it would be kosher. It just depends on whether she fulfills the tana. It will be znus, for sure. That would be simple. I guess the question is the same question, though, right? The question is the same question. Kiddushin could not be. No. Wait. If she had znus with someone, so there you could say that the kiddushin are potentially tosin. You're saying depending upon if the man, if she married the man, and he would give her a get. But let's say they do kiddushin. Can that be worse? That's what you're timing, right? If they do kiddushin, I think it can be worse, but I have to work out why. In other words, the act of kiddushin now raises the stakes. I think it does break it. This is going to be such a delicious irony if I'm right. That's the act of kiddushin that creates lenteers. Potential lenteers. In other words, if you do kiddushin, and you don't undo it, and you do, yes, this works. Think about it. Why is it? In other words, if she doesn't do kiddushin with Shimon, she just finished this. I'm asking you, is it possible that she could have thesis kiddushin with this man right now? The answer is yes. It's potentially possible if she has kiddushin and she then gets divorced from when he dies and she marries Levi, turns out kiddushin would be tofus. So right now, it is possible that kiddushin Shimon could be tofus. But if she did kiddushin with Shimon, that kiddushin makes it impossible for the kiddushin to be tofus. She doesn't get a get from Shimon.
Yeah,
This is great. Yes, yes, at the same time. It's so counterintuitive. But we ask that when you have an active deal with a woman, we say that if kiddushin cannot be kosher, when you have that deal, the child's a monster. Right? So Shimon right now has not married the woman. He doesn't deal with her. Right now, could he have kiddushin with her? The answer is it is possible to have kiddushin. You know what's possible? If he were to have kiddushin and then he were to divorce her and she was subsequently married lady, the kiddushin will be posted. So that and it's true, in fact, if he marries her and he divorces her and she marries lady, the children won't be on the kiddushin will be posted. But if he is mikadesh her, that kiddushin is what sets up the impossible situation. That the only way, once he's got the kiddushin, the only way those kiddushin can be tosim is if he gives her a get. Now, if he goes ahead and gives her, doesn't give her a get, and she marries Levi, without that get, it turns out that it was impossible to have Kisa's kiddushin. Because he did a Maisa kiddushin, and then didn't do a Maisa gerushin, it turns out that kiddushin, it was impossible to be tofes. It's a little crazy. It's precisely the course of performance of acts of kiddushin that is doche the possibility of kiddushin until after kiddushin later. That there can't be chal now. It's the act of kiddushin without a get afterwards that makes it impossible. Now I know what. Now I think I've already pulled out what the Rashba would say. That, I don't know if this is correct or not, if I like this, but the Rashba would say that no, the act of Kiddushin itself did not render, right now, Kiddushin impossible. The act of Kiddushin, if you don't give a get later, will render the impossible with the piece of Kiddushin. But that's not true right now. Right now, it's still possible. So, should it turn out, this is what's crazy, should it turn out that she's not an Eishes Ish when you have the Bia? And should it turn out that when you had the Bia, there was still a possibility that the Kiddushin could become Tosin, which is by giving her a get, then it's not a mantra. That's what the Rashba would have to say. I don't want you to be wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, unless you're doing Chazara. It's crazy. And we haven't even touched the Marsha yet. But I think the truth is, I think once we've said everything we said, the Marsha is not so difficult to grasp where he's going with this. Ephraim, do you wish to comment any more on this? Okay. All right, so let's take a look now at the Marsha. This is a kind of thing that's actually worthy of my dear friend and rabbinic colleague, Rabbi Clapper. I like to think this is the thing that only he could come up with. So I've come up with it, so maybe he'll explain to me why it's wrong if I ever share this with him. But that's the kind of thing he would come up with. That's meant as a compliment. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I could be totally wrong, but nonetheless. Okay, so. The Maharsha says, I'll read the Maharsha. I'm fortunate enough with Svar, I'm not going to make you read. L'chora kasha, kevan dememekaima t'na'a linase l'ploni. Tosfos had said that she can't marry Levi straight out because of some type of a suffix. So the Maharsha says, I don't understand. L'chora kasha, kevan dememekaima t'na'a once she marries Levi, she didn't get a get from Shimon, but she's married Levi and fulfilled the Tanai. So what happens? The Kiddushin of Shimon Rachal Amafreya. In which case, the Heich Yisa Osa Zeh, the Logerishin, how can Levi marry her without Shimon giving a get? Sherei Havya Legabe, Eshishish, Mechamas Kiddushin Acher, Shemiseis Kodom Lezeh HaPloni. He uses the term Ploni. Is the ploni that the husband spelled out, and Acher is Shimon, ploni is Levi. So he asks my question that I started, you know, the shiur with on Thursday, which is, you can't have a get because you wind up in this vicious cycle. Umashal he gave the beatosos lo havi ishesish v'zeshen ishes lo asha v'lo yadati kavanas v'matika v'zeh. Okay, I'll explore that issue. Some say that it wasn't a tikkun, it was just what he had in front of him. Whatever, either way, doesn't matter for now. Avo he did if he do share rash by yeshul moksas pei listen to very kushas v'li hadol. You can understand without innovation. The hachi pei rusha. So even though she cannot fulfill her tanai, or she doesn't have the power to do so, because late Shimon may not want to divorce her, and it turns out that she'll be an Ashes Ish to Shimon, Mikomakon Leslan the Mema Shiholo Lakayim Tanal Binasin Laploni Belogavishim. So that's the case. Go ahead and marry a lady. Why not? You don't need a get from Shimon. He says, no, doesn't work. The af im tekayim tana'a, even if she fulfills the tana'i, al kochach lo chalu kiddush ha'acher, Shimon's kiddush will not be chal, kevan dehem tolim b'kiddush ha'ploni, should be tluyim probably, they're dependent upon kiddush ha'levi, v'chevan shelo girsh ha'acher, since Shimon never divorced her, im nomar she kiddush ha'rishon, not of Shimon chalu, then kiddush ha'ploni lo chalu, then Shimon levi's cannot be chal, the havi le'ish ha'sish le'gabay, Kevin shlo girsha, the chavin shlo chalu. If ladies are not chal, al kochach gan kiddusha acha lo chalu, sharim tolim or tluyim bekiddusha ploni. So therefore, el al kochach the name of the kiddusha ploni him kodvin lachol after lo gerushin. The kiddusha of lady come first without if there's no gerushin. The shuv I efsha shagam kiddusha rishon yachulu. In other words, Shimon when lady marries her without Shimon divorcing her. You don't say that Shimon's kiddushin are chal amafreya. That can't happen because that we ma'akev lady's kiddushin and Shimon's kiddushin are definitionally dependent upon lady marrying because that was the tanai. V'nimsa kevan shekima tanai v'nisuin shel ploni have a get lamafreya. It is a get lamafreya. Reuven divorced the time he gave it to her, but Shimon's kiddushin are chal. V'lo havi gabe acher with respect to Shimon she's rach pnuya u'biznus lamafreya. Okay, I'm not sure what he's referring to here. I mean, Rashba had another approach to the whole thing to say it's not the other Ligrushe question, it's just in Suve. I don't know what he means by the Inachar. Avol. That's what the Rashba says. The Rashba answers what question so far? What does it answer? The question the Rashba started out with, the vicious cycle. Right, you say it's not a vicious cycle. Right? I solved the Rosh Chodesh problem for you, and the Marsha has explained how the Rashba has solved this problem for us. Okay. But that's not, he thinks, what Tosfos says. Aval midivrei Tosfos hayanira the Ratza Lomar ela da la'olam tzricha get misafei shema lo tikayim tina'a Hashka, Ache Yomus Bala Harisham, Shenrasan Zehaget, O Yigarshena Beget Gomor. So he's going back to the words of Tosus, and Tosus used the word the Rishon, Yomus O Yigarsha. Right now he's suggesting what Tosus means is the original husband. So what's the fear of Tosus? It's not what the Rashba is saying. But Oz, Tinase Leploni. So if in fact she cannot, the fear is that Reuven will turn around and divorce her, get gomor or die, and it will turn out then that the kiddushin of Shimon were chal. Now it's a little strange because they're only chal after he dies, so it doesn't matter if she already went and married Levi without a get. But one second. Yeah. Well, let's hold on. Yes. In Tinase the Ploni Blogation, Havi Ashes Ishla got a Ploni. So it's true. If Shimon is Mekadisha after Reuven dies or gives her a full fledged divorce, then Sure, if she hasn't gone and married Levi yet, you're right. She's now married to Shimon. Kedushin Shimon can be chal now. She's now married to Shimon, and she's also midaraisa. She's an eishes shishlagade Levi. Yeah, but while Ruman's still alive and hasn't given her a get gummor, she could just go marry Levi now. That's not an answer. But hold on. Avakasha the payer said, the mashayach l'shon kiyum tanaach amisas arishon o achas shigir shabeget gummor.
What do you mean that Tosa says should be Mekayim Tanah, you know, when the first husband dies or divorces her?
When the first husband dies or divorces her, Kirsha Gamor, she can marry anybody she wants. She's, because there's no tzai anymore in the get. She's either an almana or grusha, gemura. So what do you mean she if she Mekayim the Tanah? The Yesh Lachos. It would be a problem for her to marry anybody if she already married Shimon. It's not just Levi. The old kasha, the shown oyigarshena. What do you mean oyigarshena? Sharekla girsha, the havale lememir yigarshena beget gomer. What is Tosha saying? Yamos oyigarshena. He read it to be garsha. What Tosha meant was yamos oyigarshena with a new get belief tonight. He should have said that. He should have said yigarshena beget gomer. So he doesn't like that. I thought my reasons even better. And there's the one answer to the question, because we're talking about her marrying Levi after Shimon married her and didn't give her a get. Yeah, well, good. Do it while the husband's still alive before he's given her a get gomer. So that doesn't really answer the question. And what, it's Gizera, you might come to do it later. He says, well, how you mean, Rilafarish Odafe Perusha? So right now, who was the Rishon and who was the Sheni? In the first shot of Marsha's offering. Rishon was the Ruvain, the original husband, and Sheni was Shimon. Let's go back 1 second to Tosus. Tosus says, "Shri Tanim says Shimon is kaim tanav. Tinosei gan l'Sheni. Ayidem mishta Rishon reigar Shimon. Tinosei gan l'Sheni means we're afraid she's married to Shimon. That's why she's not allowed to go marry Levi without a get from Shimon. So now he says that the Hayyan Nira l'Faresh O Dafi Perusha. The Shimon is kaim tanav. V'tinosei l'Sheni." Maybe the Tanai will be fulfilled and she will marry the Sheni, the Hainu Ploni. Ayyidei Misa Sarishon, the Hainu Ha'acher. The fear is that she will marry Levi without a get. And then what happens? Well, maybe she'll be married to Levi. What happens? Shimon dies. And if Shimon dies, and now she had Bia with Levi before Shimon dies, and then he remains married to her, what does it turn out? It's not hard to sketch. If Shimon dies, the only problem is what he does with Garshena. And again, by Yirul Afarish Odachi Pirshu, the Shema is Kaim Tanah, Vitinase Lesheni, the Hainu Ploni, Ayyve Mises Arishan, the Hainu Acher. The Hashta Yahulu Kidushe Ploni, the Heter, the Logarishan, Meho Acher, Yahulu Shap in the Mafreya Kidusha Acher, Ayyve Kiyum Tanah, the Lotia et the Mafreya Vesnus. The Hainu Vigarshena Acher, Vitinas in the Ploni, Yahulu Shap in the Shah Mafreya. So I would have said that he says Gamzein or Noachle. He doesn't really explain. I'm not sure what he means in Tosis, but I would have said that that's a disaster waiting to happen. Right? If she marries Levi, it doesn't promise it doesn't work with the Gerushin. Or maybe it does. If she has been with Levi, and now Shimon turns around and drops dead, or Shimon turns around and gives her a get. Now she remains with Levi, and the Tanai is fulfilled. Turns out that Shimon's marriage was a marriage. And that Levi violated Eishes Yisrael. I don't know if that's what the Marashah meant. You could have gone that way. But he says, I don't like it. He doesn't explain fully why. He just says, Gamzein Anochli. V'yoser Nirili Lefarish. This is where it gets interesting. V'yoser Nirili Lefarish, Divrehem, Bekushyosam, Sheloki Divrei Harashva, Shesover, Deintikayim Tinobel, Gerishin, Vilki Etzel Acharach, Biznos Kipnuya, Kamen Dolo Yechule Kedusha Acher. Tosfos doesn't hold like Rashba. The Rashba says that if the Kiddusha Levi are chal without a get from Shimon, it will turn out that all she'll be done wrong with Shimon
with Znos. That's what the Rashba thought, and he thought that was still a problem, but it was only Znos. Ela, no, Tosos holds, came in the lo yechulu kidusha achas gam lemafreya, kamosh kasad lumael, lo havi legabei get klal lemafreya. If the kiddushin of Shimon cannot be chal lemafreya, then it will turn out that the get of Reuven is not a get legabei Shimon. Utiya gam ata etzlo ke'eshes ish, ganim dekayim tunal linase leploni. Even if she fulfills the tonight to marry Levi, and now Reuven's get is chal lemafreya, not with respect to what Shimon did earlier. Ela dekushosam is dini komakom. Ahani lekiyum tzinah after lo gerushin linase achad kach lachol misha tirza. But Tosis is saying that if she gets married to Levi without a get, she can now, after being married to Levi, marry anybody else. Umiu bein tinase leploni bein lo tinase lo koma kvar ve'eshes ish legabe ha'acher. In other words, either way, she's going to be an eshes ish legabe shimon. The ahot tirtzu shapir, the lo tinase leploni v'lo get. The Tosa says, no, you know why she's not allowed to get married to Levi without a get? Mishum de'im tinase lo leploni hashta v'lo gerushin, ha'be vade eshes ish legabe a'acher. Shimon will violate eshes ish with her. Avalim lo tinase lo hashta, if she doesn't get married to Levi right now, meaning without a get, efshar l'sakein kilkula shelo tei eshes ish. Shema yiskayim tina linase leploni acham nisas harishom, dahaynu ha'acher, o acher shigar shena, ve'oz ha'veshapir ha'get harishom get lemafreya, even with respect to Shema. Ve'gam kidushe ha'acher yachum lemafreya, v'lo havir legabei eshes ish. Ve'daktik v'tim sakal hitim, I don't know how you say that, that's a great expression. Should be the dafti kate with him zakal. That's very right. So I think what he's actually saying, I think when you translate what he says at the end, is what I was suggesting to you before, that if kiddushin Shimon cannot be chal lemafreya, then she was still an eshes ish with respect to Shimon, even though Reuven's get is chal lemafreya, the gabe lady and anything else. Now, what did shu over? We will review a little bit tomorrow. First thing, I'm sure you should review and say there, and then we will move on to the next part, which is the Shita of the Rambam, which you have the new set of Makoros. Same file name, but there are additional Makoros at the end. Any questions?